My name is Tyler Klug. The date is September 5th, 2023. We are at my house, and I'm interviewing my father, Peter Klug, on the attacks of 9/11.
Thanks for having me, Tyler.
Do you remember where you were during the 9/11 attacks?
I was in Portland, Oregon, staying with my wife's brother and their family. We had been living in San Francisco at the time, and we went up for a quick visit up to Portland. And we were staying in a guest room, and all of a sudden we saw the TV that a plane had hit one of the Twin Towers, and realized something was very wrong.
Were you with anyone September 11th?
I was with my wife, her brother Bob, and his wife Julie, and some of their kids, but I think they were mostly at school.
Were you all together watching the news, or did it just pop up, or what happened there?
So the first tower got hit by the plane, and we got alerted by Julie that something bad had happened, but no, everybody thought it was like an accident or a weird circumstance, or nobody really thought it was nefarious. But we were watching the news, and then the second tower got hit, and we were like, oh, this is terribly wrong.
Yeah.
This is a terrorist attack.
What did you feel after the attacks, like after the second tower, and once you really, it sunk in, like, what was your first kind of emotion?
Yeah, it's like, what is going on? What's next? What's going to get targeted next?
Like panic and confusion.
Are we safe where we are? Like, this happened in New York. And then later on in the morning, there's a plane in Pittsburgh and then one in the Pentagon. We're like, this could happen anywhere. Maybe there's a plane coming for us. We're in a suburb of a smaller city, Portland, Oregon. So didn't feel super vulnerable, but it was like, how are they doing this? What's happening? What's happening next?
So you felt fear after the attacks, and like, how long was that, like, kind of internal fear?
Well,
or when did the initial panic stop?
I'm not sure. It took a while. It took a couple days, because I guess we felt a little sense of relief once they had grounded all the planes all across the U.S.
Yeah.
They took every airplane out of the sky and landed it. And then, like, okay, they can't get us with airplanes anymore. But who is so sophisticated and coordinated that they could pull this off? And then it got a little bit selfish. Like, we're away from home. How are we going to get home if there are no airplanes flying?
Yeah.
And they didn't fly for a couple days, as I remember. So we're like, are we stuck in Oregon? How long are we stuck here? Like, will we safely fly again?
Yeah.
Do we need to rent a car or take a train? Or how do we get home?
Interesting. And then when was that kind of like, or how long was like the attacks of 9/11 like ingrained in your brain? Like, how long did it feel like there was a threat of like terrorism that could still get you?
Years. I mean, I traveled a lot at the time for work, and every time I went through an airport, you took your shoes off, you took your belt off, you went through much more rigorous security. You had your little bottles of shampoo and whatever.
Yeah.
And then there, it seemed like every month or two, there was a new threat that got uncovered. Like, I remember somebody hid, like a knife in the tip of a wingtip shoe, and then somebody else, like, hid bomb making equipment, in the sole of their shoe. So it seemed like everybody was coming up with creative ways to take down a plane or cause havoc.
Yeah. And evade security.
Yeah. And security seemed really stupid.
Yeah.
And always behind.
So what was security before 9/11?
It was much easier to get on a plane.
Like any background checks or like just showing your passport and getting on, or what was it?
Just show your driver's license and get on a plane.
Seriously?
It was that. There was still, your bag still had to go through the metal detector viewing thing.
But that's it.
But you didn't have to take off your shoes. You didn't have to have little equipment. It was much, much easier. And like every airport that I traveled to entirely changed to accommodate these massive measures.
Was it like immediately? Like, did you see that when you were coming back from Portland? Did it change or no?
Everything changed.
So it was a quick flip on a dime. Yeah.
And then TSA got established. TSA wasn't a thing before.
Yeah.
Homeland Security wasn't a thing before.
I read about that, yeah.
Like, there were entire institutions and bureaucracies that were built based on
because
that
because of 9-11, yeah. So, I know there was... Mom was talking about President Bush's, like, 9-11 address to, like, the nation, like, that night. And how it kind of, like, relieved her panic. But, like, what kind of... Did it ease your emotions or did it, like... help them at all, or did it give you more panic?
Am I supposed to be honest?
Yeah, you can be honest.
So when they kept rewinding to him in the school, he was like reading children's
books. He was reading
book
a book, yeah.
Yeah. Like in a Florida elementary school. And somebody whispered it in his ear, and he looked panicked when that person whispered in his ear.
And they showed that on TV?
Well, they kept showing, like, the moment he was informed, and he was, like, jaw-dropping. Like,
that's not good.
What in the world just happened?
Well, you shouldn't show that,
like, not processing. So then he got his stuff together and, like, made an address to the nation and was very calm. But they kept rewinding or re-showing that, and I'll never forget that moment of panic. Like, rightly so, even if you're the leader of the free world.
Like, you should be a little panicked.
You don't expect that to happen.
Yeah.
And, like, they were telling him, like... We should get in the air so you're safe, so you don't get killed or, like, any. So he was in the air for a long time. Like, I don't know where he was flying. And then Cheney got in the air flying to a secret
Dick
location.
Cheney.
Yeah, in Nevada or something.
Yeah.
So, like, is the government going to be intact? Like, are they all hiding?
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't we be hiding if they're hiding? Like, it did not provide a sense of calm.
No.
Like, this was a contingency that maybe somebody somewhere in the Pentagon planned for, but it was clear it wasn't like, we think this might happen, so we should really have a plan.
Yeah.
It was like, this might happen, let's file a briefing and hide it someplace in the bowels in case we need it, sort of plan.
Yeah. All of his moves were very panicked, and then all of a sudden he seemed, like, strangely put together, like, during that dress. Like,
it was for show, for sure.
Yeah, and you could
and
see.
And you felt,
like,
it was for show, not for real.
The information was, like, useful, but
it made mom feel better. It did not make me feel better.
No, yeah. He gave, like, valuable information that, like, was under locks, but then, like, he said a prayer or something like that, or said, "We're strong," and that was about it.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah. Well, I just watched the thing for English earlier today. We talked about the immediate impact. Were there any more besides, like, airport security being upped or Homeland Security? Or
every day you were like, is it safe to ride public transportation?
Oh, so like trains and stuff?
Get on a train or a bus.
Really?
Or, like, every day you thought it, like, I lived in San Francisco at the time, so I took the public transportation, the Muni or the BART, to work most days.
Yeah.
Like, is this a good idea? Should I get to work a different way? Should I ride my bike?
Made you question your everyday life.
Yeah. Because if they can hijack a plane, it's way easier to hijack a subway.
Take out the conductor. Right. Simple as that, yeah.
Lots of movies have been made about that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the other thing, I had read Tom Clancy's book.
Yeah.
Do you remember which? I don't remember the name. But he basically wrote about this exact scenario, but it happened in the Capitol building instead of the instead of...
And he wrote it beforehand, or did he copy 9/11?
Instead of Twin Towers or the Pentagon. No, beforehand.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, for sure.
That's crazy.
And he's one of my favorite authors. I read the book and whatever. And I was like, holy shit, did they steal this from a Tom Clancy movie?
Just like, researched
it. Or did he know that this was a threat and nobody else in the government knows?
Cause you did second guess a lot of your ideas,
Like, how is Tom Clancy the smartest guy in Washington all of a sudden?
Yeah. Talked about what changed. So I know 9/11's had like a lasting impact on America. Is there anything like, does it still stick with you today? Does it like resonate with you personally? Or do you think it's like sort of faded away a little bit besides like airport checks and stuff like that and like increased security?
I think it's changed the discussion and the like the center point of opinion around personal privacy versus public safety.
Yeah.
So since 9/11, I happily am part of TSA PreCheck and Global Entry, and I give my fingerprints and a retinal scan and all this sort of stuff to the government so they know I am who I am and that I'm safe and not a terrorist. There's no chance in the world I would ever give away my personal information to the government prior to that. Because I would think the bigger threat is the government using it against me versus a government using it to protect me from a terrorist.
Yeah, it's like the Mission Impossible movie. Like, once you put it in the computer, like, it can be hijacked or the government can use it and stuff and target you.
Exactly.
But they gave you, like, a legit reason to, like, actually put it in. Like, hey, these people are worse than we could be. Like, you need this.
Yeah. They changed the calculus on that one.
Yeah.
And not everybody would agree with me, but I think the center point of public opinion has shifted from, it used to be a, United States used to be a, the government is the biggest potential enemy, so we got to keep ourselves free.
Yeah.
And now it's, compared to like Israel, for instance, who has been doing this for 50 years since they became a state, they've been more threatened by outside interests than probably any place in the world, and they've given up their individuals' freedom for security for a very long time. It was an entirely new concept in the U.S. and still persists today.
Yeah. So do you think this is this like increase in Homeland Security and TSA and stuff like that? Do you think it's like prevented? It's hard to predict like what would have happened or hypotheticals, but do you think it like kind of dissuaded terrorists and it kind of like gave that like security that we kind of thought we needed and stuff like that?
No, I don't. I don't think it changed anything because it's so like to make an institution more safe, you have to like do the dumbest stuff.
Yeah.
And so no, I don't think TSA has done anything. I think TSA PreCheck probably has done more to make it safer. But I think the single biggest thing that has made an attack much, much, much less likely since 9/11 is the fact of what happened in the Pittsburgh, the Let's Roll guys. Did you hear that?
No.
Have you heard that story?
No.
So the plane that landed in Pittsburgh was destined for someplace else. Theories on where it is, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Whether it was the Capitol or someplace else.
I've heard
that
part a little bit, yeah.
But it got grounded in Pittsburgh because a bunch of guys in the back of the plane were texting people back home, and people back home told them that they crashed a plane into the World Trade Center. The Twin Towers.
Yeah.
And they said, well, they're going to do the same with this plane. So instead of letting the terrorists... Nobody ever thought before 9/11 that a terrorist would kill themselves to hurt other people.
Yeah.
They thought they would hijack a plane, and the game was you give them what they want slowly, 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 but you give them everything they want, and then eventually you'll catch them.
It's like the Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie with like the cockpit thing.
Exactly. You give them, but you delay, not you give them what they want and then they blow everything up, yeah. including themselves.
It's not a hostage situation.
So the calculus changed and the Let's Roll guys like got word from loved ones that this had happened and they decided to go kill the terrorists and potentially get killed in trying because there was nothing, there was no other...
Yeah.
If the terrorists was willing to kill themselves, you had to stop the terrorists, like now.
And they stopped them, right?
And they did.
Yeah.
They died doing it because the plane crashed and burned. But they stopped the terrorists from taking out hundreds, thousands of other lives, but they sacrificed themselves. So I think that has fundamentally changed the calculus of a... Everybody now in America knows that a terrorist is willing to give up their own life to get whatever they want.
Yeah.
And when that happens, like when that's not the thing anymore, you got to be much more drastic in saving yourself and saving others.
Yeah.
So I think that has changed the math.
That's interesting. Thank you so much for this conversation. I didn't know about a lot of this, and you really kind of enlightened me with your experience and being there, not being in New York, but being in a different area. It kind of gives you like that. Oh, I lived through 9/11.
Can I add one more story?
Yeah.
So you didn't ask me directly, but it was super personal to me because my best friend from college, Glenn Taylor, Chitty Pants.
Yeah.
Uncle Chit. Worked in the buildings surrounding the
World Trade Center.
So the World Trade Center were the Twin Towers, and then there were four World Financial Centers that's on the same city block.
Oh, and he was doing finance in there.
Yeah,
trades.
He worked for Merrill Lynch.
Yeah.
At the time. And he had just transferred to London. But he was going back and forth a bunch still. He was still in New York from time to time. And I didn't know if he was in the World Financial Center, which also was destroyed, although not as spectacularly as the World Trade Center, of course.
Yeah.
But also destroyed. And I'd been in that building, and I'd met up with him in New York and, like, went to his office to meet up with him. And so I'd been on the ground there, and he, as recently as 6 months before that, had been working there every day. So it brought it super close to home, even though I never lived in New York and it was in Portland, Oregon at the time.
Yeah.
Because my best friend from college was there and like his office was destroyed in the whole process.
First,
it was like,
second
holy
thought,
cow.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I reached out to him. I couldn't get a hold of him for a day or two.
Jeez.
Because like all the phone lines across the country were down. Especially in New York, like if you had a New York phone number, that everybody was trying to get a hold of their loved ones.
That's so crazy.
So that brought it really close to home for me.
Yeah. But he's okay.
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah. But he had a bunch of friends that died.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. He knew people. Friends might be too strong a word, but acquaintances, people he worked with that died.
Yeah. That's interesting. So does he have any stories about it, or?
He probably does. Should we give him a call?
Yeah, at some point we should. Not tonight, because it's different timing, but yeah.
He's in London.
Yeah.
It's probably 5 in the morning there. 4 in the morning there. Maybe another day.
Another day. Well, thank you so much for being my live
guest?
Guest on my little interview. So, all done now. Bye.